Well, I have to say, first of all, you know that I've really been enjoying the music force that you have today in the church. I mean, it's outstanding. They just have, you know, the choir back there, you know, with the instruments. I've been really enjoying that. It's a blessing when you can have a church like that. It's a blessing. And we've been in churches, big churches, small churches, and not everybody had the privilege to have a bunch of people there playing the instruments. So it's a real blessing for us as we come to different churches, you know, and to see that your music honor the Lord. And it's really a blessing. Take your Bibles tonight in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'd like to start with a few verses here. Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 26. Says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot with Isaiah the prophet." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this portion of the scripture. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can open your word tonight with freedom in this country. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you make a work in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you open our hearts, that we will be sensitive to your voice. And I pray, Lord, that you will do a work that will be for eternity. I pray that you incline our hearts tonight. And I pray now that your name will be lifted up in our midst. We ask your blessing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the message, for those who like to take your notes tonight, is God Seeking Sinners. God is Seeking Sinners. And let me start this message with an introduction. I like short illustrations. And many years ago, you probably hear about this man, the famous evangelist, D.L. Moody. He was walking on the streets of Chicago, and while he was walking the street, he met this man. So Mr. Moody, he said to this man, "Sir, let me ask you a question about your soul." So the man said to Moody, "Sir, it's not your business to know things about my soul." So Moody said, "Oh, it is my business to know about your soul." So the man said to him, "Oh, no, so then you must be D.L. Moody because you care for my soul." And you know, D.L. Moody was a man that was known, well known, because he was a man that cared for souls. And you know, folks, I really believe, you know, tonight that it's every Christian responsibility in this room to share Christ with other people and do it without fear and without apology. And you know, I wonder many times in our lives, what is it that we don't share the gospel as we should? You know, sometimes what is it that we have to get fired up, you know, and have a, like, meetings, you know, to evangelize, you know, stuff like that, when this should be something that should be natural in the life of the believers. In fact, you know, when you go in the book of Acts, you see people in fire for the Lord. You see what the disciples, the scriptures say, that they could not stop to speak what they saw. It was constantly, they were constantly speaking. I wonder what is it many times that we kind of play the hot potato with the Great Commission. What is it that we say, well, it's pastor's responsibility to go and share Christ with others. It's the missionary responsibility to go another country and share Christ with others. I really believe that it's all of us' responsibility. In fact, the scriptures say that this should be something natural in our lives. Since we got saved, it should be natural to spread the gospel out. There are many verses in the scripture, you know, but let me just share a few. They say the fruit of the every Christian. And what we see in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he was saying to the Romans, "I propose good unto you, that I might have some fruit among you, but also among the Gentiles." He was talking, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Even the Lord, he was challenging his disciples in John chapter 15. He said to them, This is my Father glorified, that you bring much what? Fruit. He's talking about produce fruit. And even though Paul challenged Timothy in 2 Timothy, he was saying, Timothy, preach the gospel when you feel like it, when you want it. No, not all the time, Timothy. Preach the gospel always. The question tonight that I want to ask you, and I ask myself many times, God is seeking for the sinners. No question about that. The question tonight is, are we looking the sinners? Are we seeking for sinners as God is seeking for them? You know, folks, we go to work every day, perhaps. You get in contact with people constantly, and the Lord puts you in contact with people all the time. Are we looking to them as an opportunity to get involved in God's plan? Missions. Someone say missions comes from the heart of God, the script and the sending of his people into all the earth was not an appendix to the story of redemption. Missions was in the heart of God all along. Our God is a missionary God. We see this from Genesis through the book of Revelation. God constantly is thinking in people. Are we thinking in people too? Tonight I want to share three things about this passage of scripture and the life of Philip. This man, there probably was nobody in the book of Acts, but the scriptures say that he was probably a layman with desire to go and share Christ with others. And you know, when we look at this passage of scripture, it must be an encouragement for us in our personal witness for the Lord. What do we see, folks, when we see people every day, when we go to the grocery store, when we go to the gas station, when we go to works? What do we think about our fellow workers? What are we thinking about them? Three things tonight I want to share about this passage of scripture. First of all, in the life of Philip, he was a man that was chosen by God. He was a man that was chosen by God. We see this in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. So now, some commentators kind of disagree that who is speaking out here. Some people think there was an angel speaking to Philip. Some other people think it was probably Christ himself speaking to him. And some others think it probably was the Spirit of God speaking to him. But we don't want to get in an argument tonight. But we can understand something about the background about this man. According to Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it's telling us that he was gone to Samaria to preach Christ. And God began to bless his ministry abundantly. And according to Acts chapter 6, it's telling us some of the qualities that were in the life of Philip. The scriptures say that he was a man with tremendous testimony in the community. He was a man full of the Spirit. And then also he was a man full of wisdom. Now if you understand the concept in the Bible to be a man full of wisdom, it's a man that doesn't trust in his own heart. It's a man according to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto your understanding. It's a man like a proverb and like a Psalms 37, when it say, trust in the Lord and wait in him patiently. Many times probably it's different to our lives because we don't have a good testimony in the community. Maybe we are trusting in our own flesh that we can do all things ourselves. And maybe perhaps many times we are not full of the Spirit. We are not walking with the Lord. But this is what we find in the life of Philip, that he was a man, tremendous testimony, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. But I hear clear say in chapter 8, verse 26, clear say that an angel came and spoke to him, and that he was occupied in the work of the ministry in Samaria. What he was doing in Samaria, folks, he was starting churches. He started planting churches. It's interesting, you know, when you look at the book of Acts in the beginning, people, the disciples, they were worried, who is going to take care of the widow? Who is going to do this? Who is going to do that? And the Lord was looking for someone to go to Samaria and start working. And many times, you know, we get busy with this and that in the ministry here and there, you know, and we lost sight. And the Lord here is like say, well, I know John and Peter, they're busy doing this and that. It's fine. But I'm looking for someone that will go to Samaria and start a church. That was Philip. This man stood up and said, I go, Lord, wherever you want me to go, and I want to share Christ with others. And he began to start the church. And a lot of revivals were happening there, to the point that they had to call the disciples and say, well, now it's time for you guys to start training those guys here and establish the church. But you know, it's interesting that at that moment, when Philip was doing great in the work of the ministry, when the Lord was blessing him so much, it's interesting that the Lord say, Philip, I have a bonus track for you. It's time to move now. I want you to go to the desert. And you know, in our mind we can say, well, why the Lord wants to send someone that is doing great here? Why do you want to move someone that is successful in the ministry? Why do you want to send them over there where there's nobody there? And you know, that many times is in our mind, you know, or we can think, well, why the Lord won't send someone else? Why you want to take this man? Why you don't send someone else? Why the Lord don't want to send an angel to go and speak to this only man in the desert? You know, many times we can send someone else, but the Lord wants to use us. And it's interesting here that a man put it in this way. Why did an angel go himself? Because this was a mission where a man was worth more than an angel. In the Lord's plan of salvation, there is a place for redeemer sinners as witnesses for Christ to do a work that an angel could not accomplish. And you know, folks, today God in His sovereign way, and if He wants to display the message of salvation on the sky, He can do that. But He didn't. You know, if the Lord wants to send angels to speak to people, He can do that. But He didn't. But you know why? Why angels, they don't go and speak to people? Because angels, they don't understand grace. We do understand the grace of God in our lives. And you know, it's interesting that many times we can point to someone else, but it's interesting that God is wanting to use you for this. God is looking today for boys and girls, men and women with desire to step out. Maybe you are doing busy, you are doing great in the world, in the ministry, and the Lord now is knocking the door of your heart and say, I want you used in this particular way. I want you to go to someone in particular and share the gospel. And you might say, well, Lord, I'm so busy. How do you can use me? I want to use you. Philip, at that moment when God was choosing him, he was entering in the blessing of Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Blessed is the man. He was entering in such a blessing that God was choosing a man to accomplish this task, to share Christ with others. It's not a blessing, folks, that tonight God is looking for each one of you to use you. God say, I want to use you in a mighty way. I'm just looking for people that will surrender hearts and just come to the altar and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I will do it. I will go any one of me to go. And you know what's interesting here? That Philip was a man with that kind of heart. He was doing great here, but say, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. If God wants me to use him that way, I will go there. We might think, well, Lord, you want to use me? Let's go for a moment to the book of John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. You might be wondering now, well, Lord, I don't know if you want to use me. I don't know if I am capable to do this. Maybe the Lord is calling you to do a particular ministry in the church, and you are doing something now, but the Lord is leading you towards another direction. In John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he might give it to you. I have chosen you. You have. Folks, tonight, if we are sitting right here in this very moment, it's because of the grace of God. We haven't chosen God. In His design, He has chosen us. And now He want to use us. It's interesting, you know, it's so amazing when you see the scripture. You can see in the book of Colossians, in the book of Ephesians, the scripture says, even when we were alienated with Him, He has chosen us. And now He want to use us. What a blessing today that God wants to use us. We don't deserve it. We are not good people. But God in His grace say, I have planned for you, and this design, you are part of it, and I want to use you. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, such a humble man, he has to say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Praise God that we are in the side that He has chosen us. And you know, God called many times other people in the scripture, and the people wouldn't answer the call. Let me give you quickly three illustrations about that. When God called Jonah, you know the story. God called Jonah and said, I want you to go in Nineveh and pray condemnation. You know what happened with Jonah? He ran the other direction. He escaped. And you know what happened with Jonah? The Lord has to chase him. He has to discipline, bring it back. But then the Lord, you know, also when the Lord called Moses in a burning bush, and that was an amazing sight, and say, Moses, I want you to serve me. And what was Moses' answer? I don't know how to speak. Excuses. Moses, say, Moses, who gave the tone, Moses? I create you, Moses. And now, I want to use you. The Lord called Jeremiah in the Old Testament said, Jeremiah, it's time. I want you to serve me. Jeremiah say, no. Even though the Lord called Peter in the New Testament, if you remember when the Lord has to break those barriers that went between Jews and Gentiles in the book of Acts, the Lord brought this side to Peter when the animals start coming down and say, Peter, kill and eat. Three times. What was Peter's answer? No. What kind of heart do we have tonight, folks? God tonight is looking for boys and girls, men and women with desires to say, here I am, Lord, I am busy, but if you call me to go this, if you call me to go to such a person, I will go. And you know, God is looking for those, the same heart, you know, in the Old Testament, we find this little boy, Samuel. It's interesting when the Lord called Samuel, he was a little boy, and the scriptures say that he was ministering in the temple. And when the Lord called Samuel, say, Samuel! And he say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. When Isaiah, we got the call from God, say, who will go for us? Here I am, Lord. Send me. What will be your answer tonight if the God is calling you to go? God is looking for willing hearts and dedicated persons for His work. Listen to this, folks. God sometimes is open doors to His servants in very unlikely places. Maybe God has opened a door for you, but you haven't realized that yet. God will say, I want you tonight. I want you to go to this one right there across the street, your neighbor. I want you to go to your family member. I want you to go to your coworker. What will be your answer? What a blessing tonight that God is choosing us to serve Him. The question is, what will be your answer? But as we see in the life of Philip, he was a man that he was chosen by God, but also he was a man that obeys God. He was a man that obeys God. And we see this in verse 27, Acts 8:27. We see this, and he arose and went. Simple. He arose and went. There is no record in the scripture of Philip resisting the voice of God. His desire was to be in the excitement of Samaria when revival was happening, when things was going great there. He was happy there. But also he was happy to obey God in the quietness of the desert. Just think for a moment here. We're doing here in the church, we're doing great in the busy ministry that we have probably. And the Lord saying now to you, I want you to go to the desert. Go to the desert? For what? Just to preach to the captives? I mean, it's nothing there. It's nothing. But it's interesting, you know, that this picture here, I just imagine this picture. He arose and went. He just went without a question. He was like Abraham. When the Lord called Abraham, get up and go. He arose and went without knowing nothing about the future. And it's interesting, folks, many times when God calling us in our lives to do something for His glory, we kind of count the cost. How much is going to cost me, Lord, if I go there? We want to know the entire blueprint in our lives. We want to know the entire thing, what's going to happen if we do this or we do that. We start counting. Many times we're like the disciples. When the Lord called the disciples, says, guys, I want to use you. Just follow me and I will what? Make you fishers of men. And I just picture Peter there. It's like, Lord,
We just left our families. We left our nets. So what do we get to follow you? Is any recompense that we're going to get?
And I imagine that, you know, not seeing ahead the blessing of serving the Lord. And you know, many times we're kind of the same way. We want to know the entire thing in our life. But you know what? God, He's not going to tell us many times what is going to happen down the road. What God wants to see in His children is obedience. And you know, many times God doesn't see a hearing ear in His children. We see this throughout Genesis, throughout Deuteronomy. We see what God was talking to His people, and His people will not hear Him. Philip not only was entering in the blessing of the man that God has chosen, but also he was entering in another blessing now. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says, "Blessed is the man that has heard me. Unclean, a very inclined ear can hear me." Do you know what's interesting? That God many times made comments about His children. And He make a sad comment in the book of Psalms. And I entrust that won't be the case for each one of us tonight. And trust it won't be the case for the church as a body of believers. Let's go for a moment in the book of Psalms, Psalms 81. Sad comment that God makes about His people. Psalms 81, verse 11. Said, "But my people, will not hearken to my voice, and Israel will not of me. My people, those that I help, those that I saved to cross the Red Sea, those that I show so many miracles, those that I bend with them, carry on them, and do all the things provided for them, those that are not going to hear me." What about us tonight? When God speaks to our hearts, can God see that we have an inclined ear and say, "Dad, whatever you say, I will obey"? Most of you, they are parents, they are grandparents. Let me just give you this illustration. If you have to talk to one of your children and you have to give an order, you have to say, "I want you to do this for me," how would you feel if your kids or your grandchildren, they will turn their back and say, "Mom and Dad, Grammy and Grandpa, I don't have nothing to do with that. I don't want to hear you"? It will break our hearts. And many times when God is speaking to us, folks, we're doing the same thing. We're just turning around and say, "God, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. I don't want to hear you." Many times we're breaking God's spirit. But this was a man that he was ready to obey. Doesn't matter the cost. Doesn't matter how much it's going to cost me. Go there to this desert. Whatever God you want for me, he arose and went. Can I tell you something about his life, Philip's life? He wasn't bound in the abundance of his ministry. He wasn't tied into the relationship in the ministry. He wasn't bound into, "This is my church, this is my work, I got to stay here." He was bound into the will of God, not into the work of God. Many times we confuse that because we're doing busy in the church. We think we're doing God's will. And you know, here we see a man that he was ready to leave everything to obey his dad, obey his father. The question tonight is, we are the chosen ones for God. What will be your answer? Are we going to obey today? Can God see that we are children that obey? The scriptures say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, "Those that have ears, what? Let them hear." If you have ears tonight, and you are listening to your dad's in heaven voice, are we going to receive his voice? Are we going to say, "Lord, I know you called me to go there, but you know I'm so busy doing this. I don't have time to do this. I can't do that." God is looking for children that obey right away. And it's interesting here, you know, that God never told him commandment number 2 until he obeys the number one. God never told what's going to happen in the desert. We're going to see a little bit later. But you know, God told him, Philip, arise and go through the desert. And he arose and went. Many times we want to know the commandment number two in our life, folks. But a God say, did you obey the first one that I gave you? Are we obeying God tonight in all his word? And the only way that we can obey that, you know how it is? When we spend time in fellowship through prayer and through his word. Philip was a man that was chosen by God. Philip was a man that also was obeying God. I wonder how hard at this point is for us to arise and go whatever the Lord has for our lives. How many times out in our lives they won't allow us to hear the voice of the Master? What is it tonight that we are so tied up that when God is calling us, we put in excuses? And trust that tonight will be the night that will you make a decision and say, Lord, I know that you chose me. I know that you want to use me. Now I want to obey you. Whatever is the cost, I want to surrender my life. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Third thing that we see in this passage of Scripture, and last, he was a man that was enthusiastic for souls. He was a soul winner, man. He was excited. And we see this in verse 29 through verse 30. But let me just park for a moment here and thinking this other man, this Ethiopian man. And it's interesting, you know, when we read the Scripture, they say that he was going to Jerusalem for to worship. And it's interesting that this man probably will drive or will go in his chariot over 200 miles to get in this temple. I mean, when I see this, folks, to me, it's like this man is concerned enough about his spiritual soul to drive. I mean, when you look this in the Bible, say he was coming from South Africa, going to Jerusalem for to worship. And it's interesting, you know, when you read the passage, you say that he went in the temple, and then he got out of the temple, was coming back on the way to his place, and he was reading the Bible. It's interesting that. And we might think, well, this man might be a Christian because he went to the temple, worshiped the Lord, and then he got a Bible, he's reading it, so he's showing the fruit. He's a Christian. No, he's still in darkness. And you know, this man tonight represents so many people that will come to your church and they will sit every Sunday, every Wednesday, they sing the songs, they read the Bible, and yet still lost. But this man, you know, he was searching. My friend, let me tell you this, this man was not satisfied. When we look at this man, we can think, well, this man has a high position. He was a man in charge of all the treasure. He got money. He got the money. And when I can see he was going to the temple, that money wasn't satisfying him. And folks, money today doesn't satisfy. And we see this also, that this man went to the temple and bent there and then get out of there and then went back and he wasn't rejoicing. Tells me that religion doesn't satisfy. And other folks, my dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you come to church and because you read the Bible here in the church and you pray, it won't save you. We need to have a personal relationship with Christ. You need to understand that Christ died for you on the cross. He paid the cost there, and he saved you, and he rose again the third day. And now he has prepared for you a place in heaven for you. That's a personal relationship with Christ. Not just come to church, but this man, he was going unsatisfied there. But Philip was in Samaria with all kinds of people. This one is nobody there. But heaven wants to reach this man. God was sending an angel to say, Philip, get out of Samaria. Go to the desert. Because there's somebody there that I need to reach out. Oh, folks, I really believe if we really be subject to the Spirit of the living God, we won't be so caught up in the bigness of our works as much as the uniqueness of one soul. God was surpassing the blessing of Samaria to only think in one needy poor soul in the desert. God doesn't forget people like we do. God was thinking in this only one person. I like the illustration, you know, in Acts chapter 18, when Paul was discouraged and the Lord came to him and said, Philip, Paul, Fear not, I will be with thee, because there is much people in the city. There are much people, folks, here in Eden. And God is looking for people who will serve him and who will go to those here. They are in need. And you know, and statistics say that 85% of the Christian world population, 85% of the Christian world population, they never share Christ with someone. What are we doing, folks? I really believe it's time to get in fire for the Lord. In the times that we are living right now in America, we really need to get serious about that and share Christ with others. I remember, it probably happened with you, you know, when you got saved, you were so excited to go wow and tell about the Lord. I remember when I got saved, I went home and said, Mom, I got saved. My mom was Catholic, and my mom would say, you always been saved. And I said, no, Mom, it's different. Now I have a relationship with the Lord. And then, you know, when you see the years, you know, it's just going down. The fire is not there. What is it, folks? Philip was a man that was a man enthusiastic. No matter in the desert, no matter in the revival. He was a man that was excited, enthusiastic for souls. God is seeking for sinners tonight. Are we looking for them? That's the question. And you know, you might think, well, how do you get this fire up for the Lord? How do you get enthusiastic for the Lord? Well, Philip did three things here to get excited. Well, let's take a look in verse 29, chapter 8, verse 29. Said, then the Spirit say unto Philip, go near. This is the commandment number two now. Go to the desert. And now when you get this man, go near. No Pharisees can get near to people. This Philip, he was a Jew. This Ethiopian, he can't talk to them. If you know the scripture, they say the Ethiopians and Jews, they cannot talk to each other. In fact, the Lord in John chapter 4, when he met this Samaritan woman, the scriptures say they were supposed to follow the Lord and not supposed to talk to her. And if even it's interesting, if the disciples wouldn't have been there, they wouldn't say, Lord, how can you talk to a woman? You're a rabbi. She's from Samaria. You can talk to them. But you know something? It wasn't any barriers in Philip's life. And many times, folks, in our life, we put barriers that are not exist with people. Many times we'll say, well, I'm not going to that town over there because people are crazy there. I don't go to that town because I don't want to see those people over there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to. We put excuses for us to don't go to places that today Christ will send us to go. You know, if the Lord wouldn't be here today and if he was telling us how to do ministry, how to share Christ with other people, we probably would be surprised, most of us. And when we see Christ's ministry in the Bible, we see that Christ went to people that today probably would say, I don't go there. I don't go to those people there. The scriptures say that Christ was a friend of who? Sinners. And Christ was going to places that probably today we won't go. But that's how the Lord was telling this man, go near. Go near. Don't put barriers, Philip. This man is from Ethiopia. It doesn't matter. You need to talk to him. He needs Christ the same that you did before. And it's interesting here that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he say, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Do we live today with a woe? When we go out here, when we go tomorrow work, and we see our co-workers acting completely lost in their sin, what are we thinking about them? God is telling you, go near, go near. I remember, I would say a year and a half ago when I was in Uruguay, these men in my display, they're drinking the cup. I went to see what happened when the Catholic Church was closed. Sunday morning, Catholic Church closed. I want to take a picture for the presentation. I went there, you know, and so I see this man drinking the cup and say, sir, can I ask a question? And he say, yeah, have a seat. I say, what happened when the Catholic Church is closed, supposed to be open? He said, well, let me explain. The priest, he's a farmer. So he will come to church whenever he has desire to come and open the doors. I said, whoa. So we began to talk, you know, and he realized from my accent that I wasn't from there. So he said, what are you doing here, fella? I said, well, I'm a preacher, you know, I'm going to start a church soon. You know, I'm doing a survey trip here, you know. And he said, oh, okay. So we start sharing, And I have an opportunity to share Christ. But you know what, folks? If I wouldn't go near, I never would have known what this man was thinking, was feeling. And I realize, folks, until we are not going near the people, we're not going to know what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And today, we need to go near to them. Christ has sent us. Some people say, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me an indication. Well, the Lord told in the mountains before he left, go! We need to go. We need to go near. And God tonight is looking for people that will go and say, here I am, Lord, send me. I will go anywhere. Second thing that we see, to get enthusiastic for souls, not only go near, but also we need to hear people. We need to hear people. We see this in verse 30. And say, and Philip ran thither to him and hear who? Him. Read the Bible. Philip not only hear God, what he has to say, but also Philip hear the men. And you know, folks, how it is. We go every day out in our daily life. We go out to work. And we see people. Hi, how you doing? Doing fine. Thank you. Hi, how you doing? Doing fine. We'll see you later. Do we really want to know? Do we really are interested in what is going on in their lives? We have our agenda. We're busy in this and that. We don't have time to stop and listen what people have to say. I remember years ago when I was doing door-to-door in Uruguay, when I was a teenager, I was with another guy from college, you know, where we're knocking doors there, and a guy came out, and I told my friend, this is my guy. I'm going to talk to him. And I began to talk to this guy, and I was bombarding this guy with questions and all kinds of things. And in the end, when I finished up all my questions and everything, and when I was out of the breath, the guy said to me, thank you, brother. I am a Christian. I was like, oh, I never stopped to listen what he had to say. Folks, it's not all about me. It's not all about us. It's all about them. And today, when we listen people, when we listen what they have to say today, we realize how much they need Christ and how much they need someone to share with them. We need to really take the time today, folks, and just get excited and just go to people and just listen to them and then address the people and share properly. And then we see the last thing that he did over here. Not only when near, not only here, but also we see in verse 35, this man, he was ready. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began in the same scripture and shared Christ. I tell you, this eunuch, he was searching. He was asking questions. He reminded me probably people, some people in South America, they would ask you a lot of questions, you know. And it's interesting that we might think, well, but you know, this guy is only alone. He doesn't have a family. You need to work with families, you know, that they might have some fruit in the future that you can bring him up in the Lord. Tell you something, the Lord wasn't thinking in Samaria. The Lord wasn't thinking in this only Ethiopian. The Lord was thinking in Ethiopia, an entire nation. And the Lord will save this man, and this man will go back to his own country and share Christ with the others. That is missions. That is missions. Share with one, and then the other one will go and share, and then and continue preaching. This man was Philip was a man that was ready to share Christ. I don't know, folks, how many people we're going to find today in our streets around here, wherever we go, with excitement. But you know what? God is looking for people that will be willing to share Christ. And you say, preacher, you know, I don't know how to share Christ. I mean, I never went to Bible college. You don't have to go to Bible college to share Christ, to share your faith with others. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he say in four words, Christ died for you. Simple. Share your testimony, how the Lord saved you, what Christ has done for you on the cross. Maybe tonight, God is pointing someone in your mind and say, I choose you to go to this one. Are you willing tonight? Maybe the Lord tonight is knocking the door in your heart and say, you've been looking for religion that doesn't satisfy you. I am the only way.
I am the truth and the life that can satisfy your soul. God is looking for sinners. Are we looking for them?
You know, we don't have a cross here, but you know the gospel story. It's God who came so near to us. My question tonight is, what is it that we can go near to people? Let's get excited, folks. Let's get all the tracks that we have and send them out. Every contact, every opportunity that we have in our daily life. Tomorrow when you go out, get in fire for the Lord. Just get a bunch of tracks in your packet, and when tomorrow you get excited, the Lord will bring, I guarantee you, the Lord will bring someone in contact with you and say, I want to use you. I want to bring the divine appointment. Are you willing to speak up for Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we pray that you help us to be so in tune with your spirit that when you point someone in our minds, when you bring someone in our path, we will be willing to speak up for Christ. Help us, Lord, in this world that is lost, to have a vision for the lost. Lord, help us tonight to see the world as you see the world. Oh, Lord, forgive us to be so caught up in our agenda, in our families, in our different things, Lord, that we forget the most important things. There are people dying today. Oh, Lord, help us, please, to get a burden for souls. Help us to pray the prayer of the Apostle Paul and say, my prayer, my desire for Israel to be saved. And oh, I pray, Lord, that tonight we will say the same. My prayer is for the people in Eden be saved. Oh, Lord, help us and our families to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed.